My brother, who was 10 at the time, was a very adventurous soul. He loved to climb, he loved to do anything that would get him in harm's way. Now, usually, Dad was one step ahead of him and could corral him and say no. But this particular day, Dad had the flu, so he was laid low. And Stevie decided that it would be a good idea to climb the telephone pole in the backyard and string something up. He was always inventing something. And so he climbed up bravely up to the top of the telephone pole, did whatever he had to do, and looked down and realized he did not have a plan to get down. So Stevie is shrieking in terror for somebody to come. Dad's laid up with the flu. What does Dad do? He gets up. Now, you had to know something else about my father. He was deathly afraid of heights. He didn't have a ladder that was tall enough to retrieve yon child, so he had to go borrow the ladder with his fever, come set it up, and get the boy out of the telephone pole. That's what dads do. They take care of things. I used to think that Dad could do anything, and he was so competent, and he was always there to protect us. And the only time I ever saw my father absolutely helpless was when one of us was sick. He turned into jelly. He didn't know what to do. He would wring his hands. He would pace. He would sit at the side of the bed, kind of willing us to get better. He felt helpless. And I've seen that, especially with men. When there's something that has to be rescued, guys are right there. But boy, when somebody's sick and they can't do anything, it's really terrible. That's when mommies help, because they know all the words to say. I can understand the terror of this father in the story today. This man was at his wit's end. His boy was very sick. He seemed to be deaf and mute and had epilepsy. Not only that, in those days they did not understand the medical terms. They didn't understand that this was illness. So they labeled this boy demonic, demon-possessed. He had a spirit within him. So you can imagine if this poor man ever went to synagogue and the boy started to seize. You could hear them now, can't you? This boy has a demon. Must be something you did to cause this boy to suffer so terribly. This man really impresses me because he doesn't give up on his son. He doesn't shun this boy, but he looks for a way to find help for his kid. So one day he happens on the disciples. And the disciples are there, that Jesus is not there at the time, so he asked the disciples if they can do anything for his boy. And I guess they thought that this was a cinch. You know, they had watched Jesus. So maybe they prayed over him. We don't know what happened, but they failed. And then it's very interesting what happens after they fail. It says that when Jesus happened on the scene, there was a big argument going on. There were teachers of the law, and they were arguing with the disciples, and I guess everybody was starting to argue. Now, I thought that was an interesting little tidbit of this story. Sometimes when we are asked to do something or we're presented with a problem and we fail at it, rather than learn from it, we get all defensive and start arguing. And I'm sure the teachers of the law said something to them about, what authority do you think you have? Where do you think you get off praying for this kid? And perhaps the disciples might have turned on the dad and said, you know, there's got to be something else wrong here. But whatever the case, they, instead of trying to figure out what was wrong, they argued, or simply if they had said, we can't do anything, but you know, Jesus will be coming along soon enough. And let's wait, because we know that Jesus will help. That's a lesson we can all learn. There are some things that are just beyond us, that are beyond our collective wisdom, that are beyond our understanding, but we kind of push ahead anyway, when what we need to do is wait for Jesus. Wait on him and pray and ask him to show us the way when we cannot find the way ourselves. So Jesus happens on the scene, and this poor man, he is at his wit's end, and he says to Jesus, "Your disciples couldn't do anything." And he describes the terrible illness that has befallen his son. And he said, "If you can do anything, please do it." And of course, Jesus utters those famous words, "If I can, all things are possible to those who believe." And the man shouts out, "I believe, help my unbelief." And oh, I can relate to that. And I am so glad Jesus didn't say, "When you fully believe, come back and we'll have a conversation." Jesus knew that this man was so desperate. And I'm not even sure when he said, "I believe," that he really did. I think it was a shout of desperation. And I'm so glad that God hears even those shouts. There are some people with great faith. There are some people who pray absolutely convinced that God will hear them every time. And then there's some of us mere mortals who wish and hope. And there's good news in the scripture, that even those of us who wonder sometimes, God will speak to. And Jesus took care of that boy that day because of his grace and because of his mercy. I once knew a dad who had 6 kids. This was an interesting story. He was an only child, and I guess he was lonely. So when he got married, he decided to have 6 kids. Fortunately, his wife was amenable to that. They had 5 girls and then a boy. He had a very interesting way of disciplining his kids. He was a real advocate for education. And he wanted all his kids to do well in school. But he didn't yell at them, and he didn't discipline them when they came home with poor grades. But he had this unique way. He said, I'm happy to go up to school if any of you have a problem. And for the oldest kid, he went up to school one day because she was having all sorts of issues. And he was wearing bell-bottom psychedelic pants with striped sweater, 2 sizes too small, going all sorts of way, a cap with a pom-pom on it, and sneakers that didn't match. Mortified the kid. And he said to his children, "Anytime I'm called to school, this is my outfit." He never got called to school again. Well, the kids grew up, and of course they were out of his home and off of his influence, and some of them made good choices and some of them did not make good choices. And I asked him how he coped with that, and he said, "I have 2 rules, 2 things I do every single day." And the kids all testified to this. He said, "Wherever they are, I call them, even if I get to their answering machine, just to say, I love you." And he said, "The second thing I do is I get on my knees and I pray for each one of them, because they might be outside of my reach, but they're never outside of God's reach." You know, there are problems that are outside of our reach that we cannot handle. They are too much for us, but they are not too much for the hand of the Master. And so those people that you look around and you say, you know, I can't help them anymore, you may be right, but there's one that can. Don't give up on them in prayer. And don't give up on them in love either. It doesn't cost us a thing to pick up the phone and say, I love you. That little boy had an amazing father who wanted him well beyond any measure and was willing to say and do anything for his child. There are people in our lives that are in harm's way that we might not be able to influence, but we can put them in the hands of the Master. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that when things are too much for us, when we have done the very best we know how to do and it's still not enough, I thank you that your healing touch is available to all, whether we have great faith or little faith. We